In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Thai Tuesday. Thai Law brought to you this week by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right. And the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Thai Law, joins us this morning. Hello, Thai.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. By the way, excellent Instagram story from you over the weekend with Bill Belichick. Where were you?
Oh, I was down in New Orleans, man. Down in New Orleans. We were down in our old stomping grounds where we started the dynasty at the first Super Bowl, man. I think that was the first time I've been back in that place since that game, man. So it was good to see Bill. It was good to be back down in New Orleans. I ate well, man. It's some good ass food down there, bro.
Did Bill say he misses us, or?
You know what? We didn't get into that, but he probably don't.
Yeah, no, I don't think he misses anybody here.
He's living a good life.
I don't think he misses the media. I don't think he misses.
He's living his best life right now, man.
Yeah, you did get $100 out of him for the swear jar, so that was well done. That was well done.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I told you, Bill, he'd probably fill it up as much as I would. You know, we were doing our thing down there, doing a little something for the upcoming Super Bowl. Wait till you guys see it, man. But, you know, when you got to do your takes, man, Bill, he always going to throw out one, Wiggy.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it is.
Oh,
he's going to throw out one. So I could have got a lot more than that. I'm like, damn, Bill.
Any gossip about
a whole lot to the foundation?
Ty, any gossip about his next steps as a head coach? Anything sneak out when you guys were talking?
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, man.
Ooh, that sounds like... See, if Bill wasn't thinking about a return to coaching, then I don't think anything... I think he would have shut it right down, and Ty would just tell us that he shut it right down.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting response.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but see, I got to give you something to keep on talking about. What kind of guy would I be? What kind of friend would I be to tell our damn conversation? That was me and Bill conversation. But guess what? I do have certain info, but I ain't about to give it to you now. Oh, no, we don't have to wait for this one.
Okay.
Ty, hypothetically speaking, if you were to get Bill Belichick a car, would it be a Jaguar?
Curtis. Curtis, I'm from the hood. I don't go for the bull. So let's move on to the next. Hey, Wiggy, tell him where I'm from, Wiggy. Tell him where I'm from.
Aliquippa, boy. He ain't dry snitching.
You're damn right. Hey, you can't get me on the stand.
Well, Ken's from there, too, and he's not exactly. Anyway.
That's classic. That is classic.
So a lot to talk about after the blowout Sunday in Miami. I'm going to start with what you were like after a loss, and this story that one troublemaker, but from several media members who were in that locker room and found themselves surprised with how cheery and smiley and happy some of those guys were. What were you like after a loss? And is that an issue for you when it comes to the way they reacted?
Man, that bothers the hell out of me, Greg. I mean, if you go out there to do a job, if you put, you know, your heart and soul in something every day and every week preparing for the game, and you go out there and lose, you're not supposed to be happy. You're not supposed to be smiling. Now, it ain't the end of the world. You know, you live to play another game, you know, live another day. But at the same time, take some pride in what you do. You know, when you're out there, I had a situation like that in New York. I say, I can't believe what I'm seeing here. You know what I mean? And it was just the culture and the energy wasn't what I was used to, because a loss is just another day, you know, at the office. No, it's not acceptable. I mean, you're trying to go out there and win. So, and when you're putting on a performance like that and the season is going like it's going, no one should be smiling around there. No one should be smiling. Maybe a couple of them smiling on check day. That's about it. You know what I mean? But other than that, should nobody be smiling up in there? Nor should any of the coaches be smiling, in my opinion.
Man, I used to love them Tuesday check days. Hey, Ty, how does Gerard, though, because you and I both think he's a good coach, but how does he change that culture where if you have some players that, you know, could be like that in the locker room, how does he change the culture to, you know, fix that issue?
I mean, one, for Gerard, he's like, you know what? Sometimes as a coach, you got to take the pressure, even though they're the ones on the field, take the pressure off them, say, it's on me, I got to do a better job. And then that might give some of those players, like, man, coaches riding for us. We got to do better for them. I mean, because he's getting a lot of flack for saying what he said afterwards, like he can't do it. I don't know what the exact quote was, but I've been hearing it everywhere and everywhere you talking about it. Because y'all refresh my memory as far as what he said, he can't do nothing for him.
Once the players cross the white lines, he can't do anything for them.
See, and now, Wiggy, we know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
See, we know what he's talking about. We're saying it's like, hey, we did everything we had to do through the week. Hey, we're giving you the best game plan. Or, you know, we thinking we put you in the best situation to succeed with the game plan and with the prep week. And I can't do nothing for you because he can't go out there and tackle and do none of that and make an impact on the field. But that is the wrong thing to say when you're talking to the consumer who's watching, the fan. They don't understand what he's saying. Wait, what do you mean? Yes, you can do something because you got to coach. You got to coach better. You got to call better plays. But we knew as players what he meant. You know what I mean? So I think that he needs to, you know, come across a little bit different. Think about, you know, what he says before he said, because you're not just talking to, you know, your team. That is something that you can say in the locker room. But you can't say that out because it's leaving the door open for everybody to come in and chime in and speculation, this and that, who's never probably even been in the locker room before.
Robert Kraft is out on a limb, I think, with Gerard Mayo, because he suggested that he identified him as Bill's replacement 5 years ago. But is he, Wiggy said, you know, Ty, you agree with me, he's a good coach. Is he the right guy to run this organization going forward? And if not, are you wasting valuable time when it comes to the development of Drake May if you give him another season?
No, I don't think anyone thought, even Mr. Kraft, that he was going to come in and change everything right now. They're going to go back to a winning program. It doesn't happen like that. This is the NFL. It takes time. And then when you have a rookie quarterback, yeah, he's playing good for a rookie. But if he was 4 or 5 years in the line, do you think that is great quarterback play? Let's be honest with ourselves when we're talking about the team.
Oh,
you know,
I mean,
no.
He's got a ton of interceptions.
No, he wasn't great.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because he's a rookie. He get a pass. And rightfully so. Gerard is also a rookie when it comes to a head coach. So he's going to get the benefit of the doubt until he brings his own guys in. We got to assess players, okay, year two for the quarterback. Year two and three, what are you going to do, Gerard, as a head coach? Who are you going to bring in there? Are you going to have money to spend to bring in free agents? Because New England, I'll say it again, it's not a hot destination anymore for veteran players, and if you ain't backing up the Brinks truck, you know what I mean? It's not like that anymore. So you got to give Gerard time to get some of his guys in there. As far as the culture, that starts with Gerard. Now, he's totally responsible for the culture and who he brings in. Those leaders as players in the locker room, they control that. And I want to see who's going to step up from a player standpoint and say, this is how we're going to be in this locker room. You know what I mean? We're going to leave all the outside noise out. We had 10 guys in our locker room that would, you know, manage everything. You know what I mean? Bill didn't even have to come downstairs. I don't see that with this team. I mean, they're all over the place. They have so many holes right now. It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the draft, because you know they're going to pick high. I would trade down and load up. I'll tell you that right now.
Well,
we
talked about this yesterday a little bit, and we used Bill Belichick as an example, but I'll use a different one. If Mike Vrabel were the head coach of this football team, would their record be different right now?
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
With them players?
Yeah.
Maybe two games. They got to have some players. You know, he might have done better from a situational standpoint. You know, the brain of Mike Vrabel, you know, in certain situations, which Gerard will be new to, being that he has been a head coach, he probably makes some different decisions here and there and might get more games out of it. But will we be talking about them contending for the playoffs with that roster? I don't think so.
Well, Ty, we were talking about the fall off from the defense yet again in Miami, though. And while it's not fair to compare him to Bill, it is fair to talk about the fact that everybody told us going into it, this is a defensive guy. The defense is going to be great. They're going to be great. Are you surprised with how bad the defense has gotten in his rookie season coaching?
You know what? I thought the defense would be a lot better, too. And I was putting that on draw to be able to maintain certain, you know, integrity with the defense. I mean, to create a certain culture when it comes to the defense, because he is a defensive guy. He did like to hit people. You know what I mean? And it's an attitude when it comes to a defensive player. You're talking about a defensive coach, offensive coach. It is an attitude and a mindset when you're talking about defense. So I am totally shocked, disappointed, and everything when it comes to the defense, because when it comes to secondary play, I'm like, how many times are you going to let a receiver get 100-plus yards? I don't give a damn. That's a smack in the face. You got to have some pride. You know, how many tackles are you going to miss? You know what I mean? You, no communication back there in the secondary. That's what Gerard was. He was a quarterback of a defense. You know, he's a linebacker. He's putting everybody in place. So it's like it pisses you off. It's like, hey, you know what it is. Get somebody in there, even if you got to – find a version of yourself to be able to help that defense. You know what I mean? I would expect the offense to be not as good, but defense to be that bad with head coach like Gerard Mayo, who played the position and played the game at a high level. I don't understand that one. I'm baffled, guys, about that one.
Ty, Wiggy talks often about the culture that you guys had when you first started the dynasty, and you know, you and Willie and Teddy and Wiggy and everybody that was able to keep others in line. Has Gerard reached out to you? Or I mean, I feel like it would be a great opportunity for you guys to go and talk to the team and explain, you know, what the Patriot culture is and what they should build it back to.
No, we talked about it earlier in the Gum Talk to the defense and the DBs. We just haven't got around to having heard from him. I mean, hell, they too busy losing, getting their ass whooped to call. Yeah, okay, you know, you got a lot going on around there. So you might be too busy to pick up the phone call, but I definitely would go down there, and especially that a secondary down there. I mean, you have a lot of upside, and again, you know, Chris Gonzalez, he can play. Once it gets a little bit more consistent, he can play. He's going to be a Pro Bowler for a long time. He needs some help. You know what I mean? So from a defensive standpoint, you know, I think, you know, getting us down there, you know, guys that had success and we played together the way we played, you know, it would be a good idea at some point in the offseason to get us down there with those guys and talk to them, because I'd be glad to.
And, but, Ty, I have to tell you, James has totally changed his behavior since he met you. So you've had a great impact on him. He's been much more focused. He's listened ever since my son, who met you at the bowling event. He's been much more dedicated to his craft. He's been running the right routes. Everything's been going swimmingly. So I thank you for that.
No doubt.
Well, Curtis, the one thing I would say, and Ty knows this better than anything, is you as a player have to be willing to accept that, right? You got to be willing to accept to hear from, you know, the guys who came before you and maybe a comeback.
Right.
I'm not sure if there are a lot of guys in that locker room.
You mean somebody who has the best hands in the NFL may not be listening?
Yeah, they might not be receptive to. They might be like, oh, that's just another, you know, another old head, you know, standing on his soapbox trying to lecture us about, you know, the game today. And so I think that's the biggest thing. And I don't know how many of those guys.
You said something earlier about Drake May. Do you feel like we are overblowing where he is development wise, like gushing too much?
I mean, we pushing the cart before the horse a little bit. But you think about this. Just go back to Mac Jones, his rookie year. What was everybody saying? Right.
Pretty good.
It's the sophomore slump. That's what everybody talking about, what he's going to do the next year, because our expectations from a rookie quarterback ain't too high in the beginning. So anything that he does is like, okay, great. When he does something, he runs and he throws a dart, he throws a great pass, it's overblown. That's what you came here to do. I mean, you throw the damn ball, you're supposed to be accurate. But when he makes a mistake, oh, he's a rookie. Oh, bonehead rookie mistake. So, he got the benefit of the doubt, regardless. Now, after you get a year under your belt, what are you going to do next year? That's going to tell us what we need to know in year two and year three. That's either going to make you or it's going to break you. But right now, it's too early to tell, because no matter what he does, he can always fall back on that he's a rookie and he don't got too much help and he doesn't have an offensive line. So, you know, the future's looking good for what he's working with. But now that when people figure you out, next year, let's see what you can do. Start doing a whole training camp as a starter. Coming into the season, people kind of pegged you from last year. When they go back and study the film, can you get better, you know, from your rookie year? But if you're going to stay right here, guys, and you're not getting better, because he's not showing me that, hey, you know, this is the next one. Oh, this is the next great one. No, he's playing decent rookie ball, showing some signs. But it ain't like, you know, you're ready to cash in all your chips on it. No, you're not. He's not there yet.
Time now for the most entertaining play of the game, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro.
I like the Austin Hooper touchdown that he threw. Scram, like kind of getting outside the pocket, rolling out to his right, and then throwing down a Hooper down at like the 1 yard.
You don't like the ball that Kendrick Bourne threw?
No, not that one. He threw that thing like it was a hot potato. Like he had a grenade in his hand.
I gotta agree with you, Wiggy. I gotta agree with you, Wiggy. I mean, he fouled him on the scramble. He looked downfield, you know, and you know it was a good throw. It was a good throw, and he threw it pretty far to be on the run.
Right.
You know,
can't really give it to Gonzalez because you know you're supposed to scoop score that one. I mean, that's like easy money. You're supposed to score that. Outrun offensive lineman.
If he wouldn't have scored, that would have been a blooper.
Right.
If he wouldn't have scored on that one. That was too easy right there. So you got to give it to Drake May for that. And see, when plays like that goes back to the point before, you're going to be like, you know what? We got something here. Because when you see that, he gives you that glimmer of hope. but then he goes off and throws interception, or then he goes off and fumble. You know, okay, oh, that's just the rookie stuff. No, it's still a fumble and it's still an interception. So, you know, again, I'm not putting too much into this. I just like the direction that he's going. You know, I think we may have us one, but again, let's slow down for a little bit, not give too much props, because they have a lot of holes to fill.
Ty, all year I do it, but this time of the year especially, I give thanks for you and what you bring to this program.
Did we talk to Ty before we let him go about, did he have any connection with Bryce Underwood, the Michigan quarterback who got a boatload of bread?
Yeah, we haven't asked him yet if he contributed to that $10.5 million.
Man, hell to the no. Man, but hey, but I mean, Brady did. Did they say Brady called him?
Yeah, yeah, I think they was talking to Tom.
Yeah, see, hey, well, you know, he, talking to me is like, hey, man, you shut the hell up, man. That's Brady. You know, there's levels of this, man. I know when to step back. You know, when Brady come around, we all fall back a little bit. So, you know, that was the best recruit, too, that they could ever had if Tom Brady called him. And I think he can pretty much get anybody there to Michigan. They need to call Brady to help recruit in New England. Hell.
Yeah, they should. I think he's focused,
if he's
focused on the Raiders, but whatever.
Hey, don't nobody know him as a damn Raider. I mean, it's good that he's able to put himself in a position for ownership. I mean, really respect that. But, you know, at the end of the day, no matter where he's played, Tom Brady is a Patriot, man. You know what I mean? And, hell, if you can use that to get somebody in here, man, you better make that call.
What are you doing Thursday?
I'm going to PA.
You are.
Yeah, I'm going back home, man. So I'm gonna get some of that good cooking. I'm gonna have to hit the treadmill for the 5 days in a row because it's getting cold outside. I like to work outside, so I'm gonna be on that treadmill because I know I'm gonna be a fat ass. I'm already too heavy.
Does your mom make one specific thing traditionally every year that you love?
You ain't gonna want to hear this, but we man, my mom be cooking the hell out of us some ham.
Ooh,
oh boy,
you love the ham.
Hey, macaroni and cheese. Oh man, I mean, not the kind you put on top of the stove either. The kind you put in the oven. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not the kind of stuff and you put on top of the stove. The kind you put in the oven. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I mean, we gonna get it in, Greg.
Yeah. All right. Well,
remember that pineapple juice dripping off that ham.
Gross. What? Disgusting.
What?
Thank you.
Ooh, give me some dry white turkey. That sounds so appetizing.
It does sound really good.
Gross. Ham over turkey.
And then the leftovers and the sandwiches afterwards, the ham sandwiches the next day after. Oh, marinate. Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah.
So good.
Mm. Some of that sweet potato with some of that sweet potato juice.
Or yam juice, whichever.
Or yam juice, whichever you prefer.
Yep.
I sprinkle that over everything.
What's your go-to pie choice?
Oh, wow.
Ty.
Oh, man. I got to say, that sweet potato, man. I mean, you got to go sweet potato, man. That's because it's tradition. But if they make it right, but all sweet potato pies are not created equal. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, I've been had some sweet potato. They done just left too many strings in it. I'm like, God damn. No, I thought I was chewing dental floss. God damn.
Got to be smooth.
Yeah.
All right.
And guess what? I ain't opposed to pumpkin either, too. So don't get that twisted. I like pumpkin pie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do both.
Pumpkin's great. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving. We will talk to you again next week. All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
All right, guys.
That is Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday. And here is Courtney with What is Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
And just quickly before I forget, because Curtis just brought it up again, yams and sweet potatoes are not related. I looked that up on the old Google machine.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, to read directly, yams and sweet potatoes differ in flavor and appearance, and they are not related. Sweet potatoes are in the morning glory family, while yams belong to the lily family.
Oh,
yams aren't as sweet as sweet potatoes, and they are starchier and drier.
Okay.
But are they both potatoes?
I don't know. Just saying, different families, not related.
Have you had yams?
I think I don't like them.
If you've never had them.
But they, I think I have had them before, and I just
taste,
don't like
them. They taste very similar to sweet potatoes.
There you go. There's the difference. Huh.
So, the more you know. Kristaps Porzingis is back. He helped the Celtics get to a 126-94 win.
I thought I had to be right all the time. I just forget.
You got to try some candy yams, Courtney.
I was just making sure that you were aware. So you didn't make that mistake
again. We can
bring
the map back, too. We can do that.
What? What'd you say?
We can bring the map back.
Oh, you're bringing it up again. Central New Jersey. You and I both wrong.
Nope. Central New Jersey, top of the shore. Okay, two separate things.
Who's that Twitch person?
Mitch.
Put up a picture.
You've only worked with him for the last couple
years. I wasn't sure who it was. Put up a picture of some candy yams for Courtney. And when you see the candy yams, you're going to be like, ooh, okay. Because they look just like sweet potatoes.
Wait, you're out here selling candied yams? Like that's something that we should try?
No,
I've never tried one.
Oh, I mean, it's just like sweet potatoes. If you like sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top, yeah. My wife does it with the marshmallows, then you'll love candy yams. I mean, this, like I said, they're similar. Look at those are candy yams.
Yeah, that looks good.
Put the one with the marshmallow on top.
Yeah, that doesn't look that good.
I like to do marshmallows on top of my sweet potatoes.
Right.
Yeah. All right, well, the Celtics get a win. They are off now till Friday for an NBA Cup game in Chicago. The Bruins have the Canucks at the TD Garden tonight. Puck drop is at 7.
There you go, Courtney, a non sequitur.
Delicious.
starch me up.
Starch me up.
Yeah, yep. Candy yams look good.
Yep. Jim Montgomery got a win in his first game as the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, and Monday Night Football had the Ravens beat the Chargers 30-23. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
A+, Courtney. It is currently 42 degrees in Boston, afternoon high of 48.